Welcome in, everybody, to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. This is the Bullpen Report Edition, coming to you now every Tuesday and Saturday, exclusively covering the state of relief pitching across all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Dan Thompson, of the FTN Fantasy Baseball team, and you can find me at Red Fox Roto on Twitter, as always. I'm recording tonight. It's late here, Monday, April 21st, late on the East Coast, so most of tonight's games are in the books. There's a lot to talk about that's happened just in these past 2.5 days since the debut Saturday episode of the pod was released. I finished recording. I sent off the audio file just after noon that day, and exactly 17 minutes later, the news broke that AJ Puk was going on the IL with a left elbow injury. There's still moving parts in Arizona, so let's start there. The Puk injury itself is still an unknown. He had an MRI today, so we should learn the results of that in the next day or two. Some people may have already dropped Puk in yesterday's free agency run, and personally, I was fine with doing that. The odds of a minimal 15-day IL stint are lower than Puk missing maybe several months or more. If you have Puk and held him, you should get some clarity in the coming days whether he's worth holding or if he becomes a straight drop. The fallout in Arizona seemed clear in the immediate aftermath of that news. The Justin Martinez stock went way up. Without Puk, Martinez went from maybe like a 50-50 or a 60-40 share to perhaps as high as like a 70-75% share of Arizona's saves. But then Sunday night happened. The Diamondbacks and Cubs, they went into extra innings that night. The D-backs scored in the top of the 10th. Justin Martinez had not pitched in 2 days. He'd thrown only 18 pitches over the previous 4 days. Arizona had a day off today. It seemed like the perfect chance for Martinez to come in for the save. But the 10th inning went to Shelby Miller again, who had pitched the 9th inning. While Miller allowed the auto runner to score, the game went to the 11th. Arizona took another lead. So surely, we'll see Justin Martinez for the save at that point. But nope, Dre Jameson closed it out. So there was understandably some confusion over why Martinez wasn't used. And after the game, the Diamondbacks manager, Torey Lovello, said Martinez was not hurt. He was just fatigued from his workload. Okay, Martinez had only pitched back-to-back games twice in his 8 appearances, 4 times. He's had 3 or more days between games pitched. So there's a possibility something else is going on here. Workload alone seemingly shouldn't have kept Martinez out of yesterday's game, given the circumstances. Now, to be fair, obviously we don't know all that's going on behind the scenes. If we take Torey Lovello at his word, Martinez is healthy, and he could end up as one of the better closers in baseball over the rest of the year. But we, as fantasy players, also have to be ready for other scenarios. So if Martinez is healthy, but he just can't handle a heavier workload, you know, he throws 100 miles an hour. It's a lot of stress on his arm. Maybe something like that opens up the odd save chance for someone like Shelby Miller now, who has risen into the late innings there in Arizona and has had a fantastic start to his season. But worst case scenario, if Justin Martinez is also pitching through an injury right now, and some news breaks in the next couple days, we'd have to consider probably Shelby Miller, the short-term favorite for saves there, and also keep an eye on other guys, maybe Kevin Ginkle, who should return from the IL soon, and even a sleeper like Adre Jameson. FTN's own Adam Young watches every Diamondbacks game and has mentioned Dre Jameson as a dark horse for saves in our Discord the past couple days. And I don't know about you, but I'll take the word of an FSW Fantasy Baseball Writer of the Year pretty seriously. So I know I'll be watching Arizona closely this week, and I think so should all of you. So the next news that broke right after I finished recording Saturday was that David Bednar had a locker at PNC Park, and he was on his way back to the big leagues. Well, Bednar immediately got into a game. He pitched the ninth inning that same night. The Pirates were down 3 runs, so it wasn't a save situation or even high leverage. But Bednar, he allowed a couple hits. It wasn't a clean inning, but he did strike out 2, and it was scoreless. He didn't give up any runs. Bednar did not pitch yesterday. It was a close extra inning game. So he's probably due for some lower leverage work before he starts, you know, getting those late inning appearances, getting into games with leads again. So for now, you know, we should still consider Dennis Santana as the closer in Pittsburgh. Maybe Santana gets another week, maybe 2, but ultimately I would expect David Bednar to have a shot at the ninth inning again there. Dennis Santana is a hold, and he can be started in active lineups for saves until that change actually takes place. But certainly David Bednar is one of the better save specs in the fantasy landscape right now. The third news nugget that dropped right after the Saturday podcast was recorded was that Blake Treinen in LA was hitting the injured list with a forearm issue. Now, Treinen has primarily been the right-handed setup man for the Dodgers. He had earned 2 saves compared to Tanner Scott's 7 before the injury news. Scott has since saved an 8th game. But for those rostering Treinen, I think like AJ Puk, he was fine to drop Sunday, yesterday, you know, given the location of the injury and the forearm, maybe it's an elbow. But if we do find out more this week, those who held him will have a better idea of what to do with Treinen himself. I think he's going to end up being a drop, but you know, maybe there'll be better news on the injury and we'll find out. Now, as evidence of just how deep the Dodgers bullpen is, Treinen was replaced on the roster by last year's team saves leader, Evan Phillips, who has come back from injury. And Phillips has gotten to work quickly. He's already collected 2 holds in the past 2 games. And, you know, he figures to bounce around the late innings as needed. But the quote-unquote winner of the Treinen news would have to be Kirby Yates. For now, it should be Yates that steps into that Treinen role and, you know, the occasional save opportunity that comes with it. Yates even got a save opportunity that same day on Saturday. He wasn't able to hold the lead, but it just shows you the Dodgers winning so many games. Tanner Scott's going to get his share, but whoever that right-handed guy is going to get some save chances too. And it should be Yates right now. Evan Phillips would probably become a possibility though, you know, as we move a little further and Phillips gets appearances under his belt. So Yates for now, but maybe Phillips moving forward. Now, earlier today in the FTN Fantasy Baseball Discord, I asked for a few questions that could be covered on tonight's pod. And FTN writer Lucas Beery posted an interesting one. How often do you like to change out your RP spec in NFBC leagues versus just staying with the same guy over multiple weeks? The answer for me, like with most things related to fantasy baseball, is that it depends. Mostly though, if the conditions that led to me adding a speculative reliever have not changed, then it makes sense to hold that spec guy another week. For example, I added Hunter Gaddis in Cleveland to a team a couple Sundays ago because Emmanuel Clase has not looked like himself. And his results so far have been poor. If it turns out Class A is hurt or is removed from the closer role for a little while, I think the next man up is Gaddis, and I would have him on my team then and have perhaps another closer, even just short term. Every save matters. Based on the past week, those conditions still exist. Class A's last appearance was a blown save. He allowed 4 more hits and 3 runs. So there's still a risk that Class A is pitching hurt or will need a break from closing. So I'm holding Gattis until that risk is gone and Class A looks like his normal self again. Now, if that situation changes, you know, say Emmanuel Class A had thrown three perfect innings with three saves this last week and he looked healthy and normal, I may have looked to swap Hunter Gattis for a guy like Luke Weaver instead, who's backing up Devin Williams in New York for the Yankees when Devin Williams has been in a similar position to Class A, where he's struggling, he's looked very hittable, just hasn't been himself. So I hope that makes sense. Now, another question that came from the FTN Fantasy Discord came from user Jay Genth. He asked, does Craig Yoho call-up put McGill on immediate watch? So the Brewers, Milwaukee Brewers today, called up relief prospect Craig Yoho to the active roster. I covered Trevor McGill's situation on Saturday's podcast. McGill, he is the closer in Milwaukee, and he's actually pitched really well outside of an ugly blown save about a week ago. But McGill also missed time early in spring training, some kind of undisclosed aches and pains. He's already had an MRI on a knee this year. The results were clean, but McGill doesn't have a clean injury history. There's always a threat that he ends up hurt somehow. So I don't think that Craig Yoho's call-up is bad news for McGill necessarily, but it definitely adds another talented arm behind him. And given McGill's injury history, you know, Yoho is 25 years old. He's got nothing left to prove at AAA. He has one of the best changeups in probably all of baseball. If that sounds familiar, you know, the Brewers had a lot of success with a guy, same kind of fantastic changeup, Devin Williams. So, you know, in the long term, Yoho, he might very well be Milwaukee's closer of the future. It could happen. He's one to watch for now. Craig Yoho, there's no need to really rush out and grab him. Maybe if you're in a holds league, he could, you know, climb into the holds pretty quickly. But he really doesn't seem much of a threat to saves at the moment. The greatest threat to Trevor McGill in Milwaukee would be McGill's own health. But right now he's pitching healthy. So we'll finish up the pod tonight with just some news from tonight's games. If you were following along, there were only eight games tonight, but some saves went to some guys we might not have expected. So let's just kind of quickly look over that. In Cleveland, a save went to Cade Smith. Not really a concern there. Emmanuel Class A had pitched the previous 3 days, Hunter Gattis the previous 2 days. I'm sure they were given the night off, so Cade Smith got the chance. But I don't think he's, you know, an immediate option for saves there. Let's see. Will Vest got another save in Detroit. It's actually Vest's second this year. But current closer Tommy Kahnle had pitched 3 of the past 4 games for Detroit. So I think it was another situation where, you know, the closer had been used a lot lately and just he had the night off. Certainly, though, Will Vest has pitched well and might be in that mix for saves when Kahnle's not available. So Vest is an interesting guy to keep an eye on, but not a priority yet just because he got a save tonight. And let's see, Justin Slayton picked up his third save in Boston compared to Aroldis Chapman with 4 saves. Chapman did pitch the 8th inning tonight. He was brought in to face the top of the order for the White Sox, the 1-2-3 hitters. The first 2 due up were left-handed. So Chapman, he's going to be used that way sometimes, where he faces the lefties in the 8th and Slayton is there for the 9th. I don't think this is any kind of changing of the guard, just it happened to work out that way tonight. The last interesting save tonight was in Miami. Jesus Tinoco saved his second game. It's the second in a row that he has saved for the Marlins. Previously, we thought Anthony Bender was the closer. Then Calvin Fauché seemed to overcome him. Now Tinoco has the last 2 saves. I think this is going to be a muddy situation maybe for a while. Bender doesn't really seem to be preferred for the late innings now that both Fauché and Tinoco are back pitching together. So it's kind of Fauché and Tinoco against each other. We'll see what happens. Tinoco certainly has the momentum for now, saving these last two games. Tinoco had actually pitched more recently than Calvin Fauché had, and yet it was Tinoco appearing tonight, and Fauché did not appear. So this is something to monitor. Obviously, Miami's closer is not going to be a really valuable closer job for fantasy purposes, but if someone emerges as the guy, then they're the guy, and they'll be worth having on the roster. Tinoco would certainly be a good spec bid. He might even have the ninth inning now, but I don't think we should be giving up on Calvin Fauché until we have more clarity there. So that covers all the news and notes from the recent days. We're going to try and wrap this up around 15 minutes or so, which is the goal for these episodes. On behalf of FTN and the entire fantasy baseball team here, I am Dan Thompson, signing off.